heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes, as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all areas of our lives. We will share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Now, on this program, we believe in the following biblical precepts. Number one, we believe that faith comes by hearing, in hearing of the Word of God. We also believe that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we also follow Hebrews 11:1 that says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And we believe on this show that we walk by faith and not by sight. So thank you so much for joining us on the program. We now have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes. And we also have a website. It's mark5ministries.com. That's named after my favorite chapter in the Bible, Mark chapter 5. mark5ministries.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you no matter what you're going through. And we continue to lift up our friend Pat Jensen in her battle against cancer. And we ask God to miraculously heal her in Jesus' name. Thanks again for joining us on Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The law enforcement torch run benefiting Special Olympics Virginia is passing through Piedmont on Thursday, June 8th. The run starts at the Albemarle County Police Department and runs through the areas of Albemarle, Charlottesville, and Nelson. For more information, visit SpecialOlympicsVA.org. The Charlottesville Municipal Band is presenting the first summer concert of the season on June 6th at Western Albemarle High School Auditorium in Crozet. The concert is free. Details at SeavilleBand.org. The Fluvanna County SPCA is celebrating Father's Day, featuring the Pups and Pops Adoption Special during the month of June. All month, you'll get 50% off canine adoption fees. And the Fluvanna SPCA will be at Petco and Plow and Hearth in Charlottesville on June 24th with adoption animals. Find out more at fspca.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@seavillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us on the program today, our special guest, Benjamin Adkins. Ben, I have been such a fan and friend of yours for a long time now, and I am so delighted to have you on the show. Thanks for coming. I know you're in town for a big weekend. You squeezed us in for this interview. Thanks for being here. Could you tell our listeners, let's start with a little bit about your ministry. Who is Benjamin Adkins today? And then I'm going to rewind the clock on you.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to know you through these years and to see just what the Lord is doing, you know, not only in your life, Charlottesville, but the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
Just so amazing to hear the stories over the last 10 years. But personally, what I do is I work in many different fields. And to break it down, I'm a full-time campus minister that gets to pray a lot. And what that means practically is, I was on my way to law school and handing in my law school application, and I just felt this whisper from the Lord, I have something else for you to do. Will you take it? And oh boy. And so what that meant, I was doing campus ministry, making $54 a week. That's 20 years ago. And it was quite a journey. From there, I went to a full-time prayer ministry training center in Kansas City called IHOP Kansas City. And it was just an incubator of prayer. Mm. And I realized two things. I needed to know Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to learn how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I read my Bible and prayed a lot, I saw the Lord begin to meet me in my own heart and then meet me in prayer. And so, and then I began to see the most fruitful ministries happen around me as far as my life being fruitful mm-hmm. after that. Then I got thrust into working back and working in prayer ministries, developing prayer ministries. I like to say I'm a kind of like a regional prayer coach. I help encourage praying ministries and different groups throughout the area, mostly on the East Coast. And so after that, my family and I moved quickly to Richmond, Virginia. What an amazing time. I love Virginia, this state.
Mm.
If I could live anywhere, you've got the mountains out here in Charlottesville. You got the beach in Virginia Beach, and just watching what God's doing, the fascinating people across the area. We worked right downtown in the middle, inner city, building prayer.
Mm.
That was really intense because you've got – that's where the rubber met the road. That's where it was real or it wasn't. And either you had God answered prayer or he didn't. And I'll tell that maybe at some time part of that story. But what happened after we served in that city and that state, we began to help different houses of prayer and praying groups and praying churches and praying communities, praying jail ministries. Just had a blast in schools around the Virginia area. And then moved back to Kansas City, where we worked for the next 3 years helping to build prayer in predominantly Arab nations, Iran, Iraq,
wow.
Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, you name it, help encourage and build and strengthen prayer both in the native languages within the Christian believing people within those nations, and then helping get people across the world to pray for the believers there and to pray for and to kind of bridge those gaps. We do trainings, trainings where we bring believers together in other countries, Dubai and different places, and help raise them up. And after we built and established that, it took us about 3 years, and we're growing that. Then I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. What a wonderful time to work to get back and focusing more on campuses. It's from there that I began to really develop what I feel the Lord has asked me to do in this season, which is build praying communities around college campuses. And so what that looks like practically is bringing the moms and dads, those that care and have a desire to see God touch a generation, with the students on the campus that want to grow and want to reach out to the believers and non-believers on their campus and get in the mix and have some intense discussions. And so it's from there that we developed, I authored and developed what I call Holy Clubs. Holy Clubs is an easy way for anyone who's an ordinary person to do extraordinary things. And what we did is I said, if I had only 48 hours to take a young person and develop them into someone that's theologically sound and knew how to pray and encounter God in revelation, what would I do? And so I narrowed those down into 24 groups, and it takes 2 hours to go through each group. And with that, we began to see it was tremendous where we could take and give this to a group, and the group then does it all themselves. We don't come in and do anything. It forces people to grow up. And maybe later on I'll talk about the different ways that we did that. But from now, after we began to develop that in Cincinnati, Ohio, just felt an urge and a nudge to move to Raleigh, North Carolina, and not only do the Holy Clubs not only on campuses and in churches, but then to begin to do them in public places, such as malls and such as different other areas, reach out to millennials and younger. And just, to me, I tell people that the millennials are some of the most gifted, some of the most caring group of generation that God has sent our way. And we just want to be part of watching and seeing what the Lord does with them. If you just set a little bit before them and set truth before them, we're seeing them do tremendous things, which I'm really excited about. And I know you are, too. So.
Well, this is a whole lot you have going here, Benjamin. I could have you on for a month of interviews, but I want to circle back. And this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. Benjamin Atkins is our special guest today. Can you, before we take a break, can you give us just a condensed version of how you came to faith? And I'm sorry to ask you that with just a few minutes to the break, but if you wouldn't mind just kind of sharing that part of your life.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely. I always like to share this. And when you're working with non-believers, you have to get ready to share it quickly every day. And so for me, I grew up in what was a Christian home, loving mother, loving father, and grew up going to church, you know, singing the songs, doing the things that I needed to do. But all of a sudden, I realized I didn't actually know God. I didn't know this one that everyone was talking about. I kind of said a prayer at one point later on, early on in my life, but nothing changed inside me. And I didn't, my heart and my mind didn't line up with what I was reading in the Word. So what ended up having to happen is the older I became, I wanted to become a professional athlete. I know some of you, Jeff, you probably could have become a professional athlete. I, on the other hand, was a legend in my own mind. And so I, as a result, ended up, I only prayed and read my Bible so that I could be a professional athlete. I figured I had to get on God's good side. When that failed, I had to go to plan B. And so as a result, I began to really seek out, who is God? What is he thinking? What is he feeling? Does he care? Does he know who I am? When I was ended up in a college setting, and all of a sudden you're faced with all of these other life scenarios and situations, what did I actually believe? It was there that I began to lead a Fellowship of Christian Athletes prayer, Bible study. And if you're not saved, you should get saved when you're leading a campus ministry. So it was there that I really had to have a moment of, Lord, show me, Lord, take me, Lord, meet me. And here's what happened. This moment came when God said, I felt the Lord just say, you have sinned. And you can't come to heaven with all that sin in your life and your heart. And it wasn't so much condemning, it was very convicting. And I said, I realized that the wages of sin was death, that my sin caused a rock pile of debt that I couldn't pay for. And it was at that moment, I just was like, God, save me. I remember just shouting it out, I need to be saved. And someone said, you've been to church your whole life. You're okay. You're fine. And I said, no. I really need to be saved. It was at that time that I gave my life to Jesus. It was remarkable transformation in how I thought, and how the Bible became new, and how I shared my faith. It was so exciting. And since then, it's one thing when I talk with my children, that's things that I share about. When we're engaging in prayer and worship in the evening before they go to bed, that's some of the stories that we pull from that I want to share with my children.
We're about to take a break here, and we're talking with Benjamin Atkins. But Ben, it's interesting how many people I have on this show, and they get to college, and that's where something happens. They kind of turn to the left or turn to the right, and it's just amazing just listening to you, because just last week we had Bill Fulkerson on the show, and his was actually after college. But it seems like there's kind of this point, there's this crossroads that happens, and there's a decision to be made, and it's just encouraging to hear kind of what happened to you. And now, did you have any moment of doubt as you were kind of experiencing the new life?
Oh, a doubt here, a doubt there. But what happened was so new in my life, and it's so interesting what you just said about the college. We met a former Muslim guy the other day on the campus. We got to pray with him and be part of that moment while he's on campus, his eyes being awakened, coming to the Lord, and now we're walking with him in that process. Wow. There's some ups, there's some downs, but if we create a community that stays around him, we see some light keep shining forth. It's an intricate time, and And thank God we get to be there for such a time as this.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the program. Please stay with the program. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia and the Valley, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Kids aged 3 through 12 are invited to Vacation Bible School at Bibby's Road Baptist Church in Troy, Virginia. The cookout begins at 5 on Sunday, June 11th. You can pre-register your kids by selecting VBS at BibbyChurch.org. Paracon 2017 is happening at the Exchange Hotel Civil War Medical Museum on South Main Street in Gordonsville on June 10th from 9 to 5. Paracon is an annual event that pertains to all things paranormal. Find out more at GordonsvilleVAParacon.com. And the Orange County Head Start and Pre-Kindergarten Program is now accepting applications for children ages birth through 5 years old for the upcoming 2017-2018 school year. You must be an Orange County resident to apply. Call 540-661-4470. If you're charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. What an awesome show we have today with my friend Benjamin Atkins. We have so much to talk about and so little time. Benjamin, I need to go back into your story of your early days in ministry. I had never heard of IHOP KC, International House of Prayer. And then a good friend of mine, mutual friend, Neil Sansevich, pointed me to that. And then Neil's been on the show. And then our mutual friend Chauncey Hutter pointed me to that. I was like, what does this mean, the International House of Prayer? And then I watched some videos online. I read a couple of Mike Bickle's books. And I was like, wow, that is a massive, massive movement they have going on out there. And then Chauncey connected me. We also had some guys from the Prayer Furnace up in Fredericksburg down on the show. So could you just tell a little bit about your time at IHOP KC and how that kind of helped shape your foundation?
Oh, it was monumental. And I want to say this. It's not so much the International House of Prayer in Kansas City as it was that I was being led by the Spirit to go there.
Mm.
He could have led me to anywhere. I could be in a monastery in the Philippines in Cebu, but that's where the Lord led me, and I am so thankful. As I said earlier, what it did was it set me in a place where Jesus became supreme in my life, where I had a deeper understanding of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The teaching there was so rich, it forced me to go deep. Mm-hmm. And what was really unique was, as a leader, Mike kept saying, if you can't find what I am writing in the Bible, then throw it out and come tell me. We don't. And I appreciated that as a young student at that time. I went through some of their Bible programs and their Bible school and their prayer school. And so what happened? I went there as a young man with newly married after 9/11, really saying, God, I want to thrust myself into what you're doing in this age. And so take me and mold me and send me. And so here I am. And as I went there, I grew in my understanding of Jesus, but I grew in to meeting God in prayer and then watching God answer prayer.
Mm.
And I talk about it in two different ways. It's the Word and the Spirit coming together. I learned to pray the Word of God, mm-hmm. pray Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned to pray what the Holy Spirit was saying, impressions in my heart, our team's heart, how he was speaking to us, maybe through a dream, like as he has done through the body of Christ through years. And I began to pray those things and see God begin to answer things. Now, it was because I was learning to pray his will. I was learning to abide in him. And I was learning to ask, not only for myself personally, but with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I saw so many little miracles and then big monumental miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to share one story at the end. But it began to be a place where I watched young people. If you can picture this, I would get there at 5:45 a.m. every morning for a two-hour prayer meeting. And I you'd come up, you're cold, it's dark, you're walking in, you open the door, and then boom, light and sound emanate out because there's 200 young people that have just done the night watch, and they're super excited. Mm. And they were we would do internships. These would be some of the most broken young people. Mm. And we'd put them in this incubator we call it a greenhouse of prayer and Bible and Jesus and Holy Spirit. And 6 months later, God willing, if they gave it a yes in their heart, they would come out differently. I remember one young man named Sam. Sam started off with this massive mohawk, a foot tall, at the beginning of the internship. We don't judge your hair or whatever, but I looked at his eyes. His eyes in the beginning were just dark, hurt, angry. Mm. We would pray at 5:45. We'd pray for the night watch as a leadership team. We'd come alongside them, pray for them, encourage them. Then they'd go off to sleep for 6-7 hours. And they get up, do their stuff, and come back. Mm. And so we were just so thankful for them. And what we did after that is I remember watching Sam transform month after month, light in his eyes. Mm. And I remember towards the end of his thing, he walked by me, or I walked by him early in the morning. He grabbed me and said, "Hey, pray for me some more. I love it." Mm. And so I watched him now, and then he gets married, then he leads. Then he's leading his family well and leading in the body of Christ. Mm. I just loved watching that aspect of transformation in people.
Let me ask you this, Benjamin. So we're in a college town, Charlottesville, Virginia, and you are a fired up, sold out believer. Suppose somebody's listening to the show right now. Maybe it's happenstance, like they don't normally listen to this channel on a Sunday morning. What would you say to them about how to kind of get started in the whole faith process? They can't really understand it. They want it, but they don't know where to go. What would you say to somebody who's searching?
I always say this. First of all, is your life, are you as happy and satisfied in your life as you want to be? And what I mean by that is not just your economic success, but are you a successful person in your heart when no one's looking? Do you feel if there's a lacking in that, then I want to encourage you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has all the answers. That's the big thing that I would say is now. And here's my next thing: it doesn't matter what I say, but why don't you sit down and say this prayer? This is a prayer we always ask people to pray. God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And then from there, just be open to truth. Ask God, I want to know you as truth. Show me who you are. I just want to know truth. And he will reveal himself. I have never, ever in all my life seen him deny that prayer. He always meets people in that. I've been doing this for over 20 years, talking with young people, walking the streets of Charlottesville, too, several times where we've done this. And we've seen the Lord answer many, many, many of those prayers. And then I would say, find a believer in Jesus Christ and ask them simple questions and say this: tell me your story of how you came to Jesus Christ. Mm. Similar to what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm. What he did in your life and my life is releases that Hebrews 11 faith so that it comes alive. Mm. As we tell it, it comes alive. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
Tell me about, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Benjamin Atkins. Tell me about, I'm sort of going out of order here, but I need to know, before you received kind of new life and became a new creation, tell me about the Ben then and the Ben now on both sides of that. Tell me about the difference, the tangible evidence of your new creation.
So, isn't it funny? You look back and you're like, I would like to grab that young kid and wring his neck. Like, what are you thinking? And the Ben before would wake up really early, work out before school, go to school, and work, skip lunch and work out, then go to practice, then come home, do your homework, and then work out late into the evening, mm-hmm. and then read my Bible right at the end. What if I just switch that around and turn that around back into just praying the Lord's Prayer like Daniel? Mm. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Mm. And I say, if I was going to go back, I would want to tell my younger self, because I preach this all the time. We just got done preaching this at the conference this weekend, calling us to live that Daniel lifestyle. Mm. And what that means is Daniel searched the Word and got revelation and entered into prayer in that time. And then Daniel ate and gave himself to different things. Mm. As he did that, the Lord met him and gave him gifts, and from that transformed his life. When I read the Bible, it's alive, it's new. When I pray, it's alive, it's new. I'm a different person to parent and do ministry. I'm so thankful for God. Mm. He's the kindest man alive. Mm.
So did you have a little bit of idol worship in your early life? Was sports the idol? Did you have what St. Augustine called a disordered love?
I would definitely say I had what St. Augustine calls disordered love and what the Ten Commandments calls idol worship. And, you know, I had all these pictures of athletes on my wall, and I thought that success was what people thought about me. Mm. And that's one of the things we're trying to go after with this generation is you're not what your social media status says. Mm. That's not, that doesn't define who you are. Mm. And and then comparing yourself to someone else doesn't define who you are. Mm. We're trying to free many folks from that and just say you are who you are. Mm. And so I am so thankful he made me a new creation in Christ. It's amazing.
Well, you know, Benjamin, I know you know this because you have a heart for the state of Virginia, but I really believe that God is doing something really big right here in Central Virginia. There's something going on. You can feel it. There's a lot of people that are searching for faith and coming to faith. There just seems to be this movement. Do you see that, especially in Charlottesville, or are you kind of seeing that all over the territory you travel?
I'm seeing it really over the last 10 years. I'm seeing it everywhere. Mm. I have been in the most fruitful season of ministry in my life, both here and both abroad. Mm. I am seeing more Muslims come to the Lord through dreams in Jesus, having dreams where, I remember one of my buddies was a former Hezbollah leader in Iran, meets Jesus in a dream, comes to the faith, and he was on his way to being a Muslim evangelist in America because of how decrepit he thought we were, and the Lord got a hold of him. Mm. I'm seeing on our campuses people wanting change. Wholesale change. Mm-hmm. And particularly with my dear friends within the LGBTQ, that's my favorite community. I love them dearly, but we're having so much fun seeing the Lord just make new creations. And so I am having a blast. Mm. God's doing it.
Benjamin, we have so much more to talk about, but we're running out of time. And I was wondering here in our closing 30 seconds or so, would you mind praying for Greater Charlottesville?
Father, wherever you are out there, let's just close our eyes unless you're driving, and let's just take this moment. Lord, we lift up everyone who's listening. We lift up their heart before you and just say, Lord, would you release your great love right now? John 15:9, you said, in the same way the Father loves me, you love us. So God, release that mighty love to us and into our community in Jesus' name.
Benjamin Atkins, thank you so much for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll see you all next week.
Heal a broken heart. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make